Welcome to the Godmother Podcast. I'm Lisa Bevere, and I believe that every woman not only needs a godmother, but she can be one. A godmother is someone who watches over us and helps to transform our seasons of hardship into triumph. And today I am so excited to be joined by my beautiful, amazing, calming presence friend, Rebecca Lyons. I don't know if you know Rebecca. I'm pretty sure you probably do. She is a speaker, minister, New York Times bestselling author of the book Rhythms of Renewal. And I love the subtitle. It just tells what it is: trading stress and anxiety for a life of peace and purpose. Who doesn't want to do that? She also has the book You Are Free, Be Who You Already Are. And then her very first one, When I Fell in Love with Her, Free Fall to Fly, A Breathtaking Journey Toward a Life of Meaning. See, if you don't know her, you need to know her. Not only is she all this, but she is also the co-founder of Q Ideas with her husband, Gabe. It's an incredible nonprofit organization that actually helps Christian leaders engage the culture in a winsome way. I think sometimes we don't always do it in a winning, winsome way. We do it in an angry, not so winsome way. So I love that they're doing that. And alongside Gabe, Rebecca finds joy. And I if you don't follow her on Instagram, you need to, because just it'll just make you smile, raising her four children, two of whom have Down syndrome. So Rebecca, I love you. I see that you're living my dream of raising chickens. I saw all the baby chicks that you guys got recently. And I just love you. I love the life you're building. I love the hard choices that you've made. I love it that you're a deep well. And I love calling you friend. And I couldn't wait to introduce you to my friends.
Thank you, girl. Well, you know, we'll save you a baby chick if you want one.
Yeah, my husband might take it away from me, but I do. I have a dream. I forget that I have not only a bobcat and foxes and coyotes in my backyard, but I also have a bear. So pretty much, yeah, if I take a baby chick, I am doing a chicken sacrifice. Okay, so I know, I feel like this is my offering to the wildlife in my backyard. So we're going to start off like super, super mellow. I need to ask you, do you have a favorite food?
Favorite food? Oh goodness. Well, the default will always be avocado toast with a fresh farm egg on top, for sure. I think I probably make it every single morning of my life because we have eggs every morning. So that's the default. But I would say
I want to cry right now. I want to cry.
You know, you sprinkle that everything but the bagel seasoning on top of it with a little sriracha. I mean,
Stop it.
It's the best thing in the world. So that, and then now my new favorite that Kennedy is teaching me, because we always would go to Franklin Juice here in Nashville, Franklin area, and they make the best bomb acai bowls with acai and cocoa nibs and coconut and granola and honey and almonds and blah, 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 strawberries, bananas. But, you know, we can't always get there. So we have learned how to make that at home. So those are our two go-tos pretty much on the daily at the Lyons Casa.
Okay. Yeah. So now we all want to join you for breakfast. Okay. Next question. This again, we're just going surface. Coffee or tea or both?
Coffee only, never tea.
Whoa. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for being strong. No, thank you for having a preference. We've got a lot of people I don't want to hurt tea's feeling.
I have tried with my relationship with tea, and it just does not happen. It's like the tea doesn't like me, or I don't like it, or we try, but it just doesn't work.
You know, so it just doesn't deliver what it promises. That's what I have found with tea. I'm like, I like you for before I go to bed as a ritual, but you don't help me caffeine wise. You just don't. So how do you do your coffee? I'm assuming you do espresso, or do you do drip or French press?
It depends, but most days we have a Mocha Master. So it's basically a Techniform, and it gets the water hot in 90 seconds, and it just makes the best coffee. So we just do drip that way. And I always do my favorite. I'm kind of dairy free, so I'll do the Califia Farms almond milk coconut milk creamer with a little vanilla, and that works every day.
We do nut pods. I don't know if you've tried that.
Yes.
Yeah. So
I have. Yep. I did Whole 30, and that was the only option.
Yep.
And this is a similar form to nut pods. It just has a little natural vanilla mixed in that helps it be a little sweeter.
Okay. This is amazing. Okay. So Rebecca, I know that you are already committed to this, but we mentioned at the opening that we all need a godmother and we all need to be one. So tell me about your commitment to being a godmother to the next generation.
Oh, wow. Well, I have three teenagers right now. So I just feel like I'm in their ear. I'm always listening to what they have to say. And so with their friends, I kind of really know what they're navigating because I'm being a mother to them and then trying to sort out how to be a broader mother to a lot of girls. This last book about anxiety and just the what are the rhythms God invites us to, I found that a lot of my readers were 11, 12, 13, just kind of carrying the book on the planes with them or the places that made them anxious. And I was kind of marveling that the audience continued to get younger. But I realized also this is a generation that has grown up in social media ubiquity, this idea that you're everywhere, but this idea of that you're kind of talking to everyone, but really not connecting with anyone unless they're in your presence. And so that gives you this, you're prone to isolation, which then leads to loneliness, which leads to depression. And also there's always this always on mentality, which just keeps you anxious. So between those, that's kind of my history. That's the story that the Lord delivered me from and started my ministry of mental health, but struggling with anxiety and depression a decade ago, midlife. And so I think that's why, I am a voice into that generation because these girls are experiencing this firsthand. And I think the more they can know the peace of Christ now, like personally, not because it's their parents' faith, but because they are so desperate and hungry for the Prince of Peace themselves, they're going to experience a new wave of renewal at a young age that's going to armor them through the rest of life. So I think that's why I'm so passionate about the next generation, because we share a kindred suffering. And so I just think the earlier on, my own daughter included, the earlier on that you are desperate for God's deliverance and rescue, the more that's just going to be your anchor for the rest of your life.
I absolutely love that. And if anybody is out there and they haven't been able to get their hands on Rhythm of Renewal, I wanted to say, Rebecca is an exceptional storyteller and she has principles, but she also has these amazing practical invitations into renewal that anybody can do. It's not like, oh my gosh, renewal. Now this is another thing on my list. It's not like that at all. It was a book that I found to be so refreshing, which is why I think it resonated with so many people. And I just want to thank you, Rebecca, because a lot of times when people have gone through a dark season, they just say, okay, I'm glad I'm done with that. But you took a season of struggle and turned it into a strength in your life and redeemed it for the next generation. My heart sunk a teeny bit when I heard that girls 11, 12, and 13 would be wrestling already with anxiety. It doesn't surprise me. It saddened
right.
me. I've got a grandson who's 10. I've got a granddaughter who will be 10 this year. And I'm like, no, I don't want that for them.
Right.
But I'm so thankful for your resource.
Yeah. The data shows that the onset of anxiety used to be age 8 and now it is age 6 for
oh
girls.
My goodness.
That's where the onset
just for
begins.
Girls. Is that and just it, for girls?
Yeah. And it's partly because, again, what I was saying, and then I think if you have a parent, this is just data. If you have a parent who's anxious, a mother or a father, the child is 7 more times likely to be anxious. And so there's a a place in Nashville called Daystar, and Sissy Goff, I had her on my Rhythms for Life podcast about a month ago, and it was all about her 27 years of working with girls with anxiety, what she's learned, what she's finding, and how she's encouraging this new generation. And I just think, oh my goodness, we can't get loud enough about this. I think as mothers, we have to lock arms and just say, hey, we're going to be a part of pulling this next generation away from this fear, this chronic fear, and just say, God, we want you to restore what has been stolen now, give them a new, because renewal means to make new. Mm-hmm. To make new spiritually, to have a new life. And God's, in Paul, he's saying, put off the former way of life. You're being invited into a new life. And that renewal is going to happen every morning with new mercies again and again and again. And so I think the sooner we can invite our children into this message of renewal, like, hey, maybe this came against you, this fear came against you, but God always provides a way of escape that you'll be able to bear it. And he's going to strengthen you and armor you in the process. So that's encouraging, because these girls do want to make a difference. And mm-hmm. when they start to see their pain become purpose, they're like, okay, it brings new meaning. And all of a sudden they find that the fear that came against them is actually for their strength.
Yeah. You know, I totally have found that struggle is strengthening. You just have to actually let people know that there is a purpose. So for me, everything shifted for me, Rebecca, when I realized that the attacks on my life were actually a confirmation that I was a threat to the enemy. And again, that doesn't, I look at this generation coming up, and you being, I think you're 10, 15 years younger than me, and then I have my son Addison, and then I have my grandchildren and my youngest son Arden, and I look at them and I see what is on them, so beautiful and so strong. It does not surprise me that the enemy has launched a full-scale onslaught, not just to attack that generation, but to bring a barrier between the generations so that there is not a transfer of encouragement, that there's an isolation, the older women isolated from the younger women. So, in light of this was something that you went through, what would you say? I'm just going to put you on the spot here. How old are you, Rebecca?
I'm 45.
Okay. So let's talk to that 22 and a half year old Rebecca. What would you say to her? I'm just cutting your age in half.
I would say to her that you don't have to pretend that everything's figured out. Like, you can actually walk with God in such a way that he becomes your daily portion and your daily rescue. And in doing that, it will just build an intimacy and a communion that will sustain you. Because I think the lie is that, like, once we're delivered, it gets easy, but it doesn't always get easy. I mean, we have more victory because we trust God, but the attacks don't always end. And the more headway you're making as you declare truth, the more frustrated, the enemy's not happy about that. So part of it's going, like, ask God each day in that communion and abiding place to fortify your faith, because he is the author and perfecter of it. And I think back then I probably needed to just pretend like things were going to work out and I was just going to hustle and do my best and put my best foot forward. There was a lot of zeal, but wisdom has taught me over time that, you know what, there's going to be this almost a rhythmic cycle of victory. And then there's going to still be valleys. There's still going to be hardship. There's still going to be suffering, but God is going to, even in the suffering, like, passion means to suffer. He's going to grow your passion, your desire, and your fervor spiritually to continue to just go back in, strengthened and equipped, because I think God has made us to fight on behalf of ourselves, our people, our family, our friends, the generation coming up behind us. And so I'm grateful for that persevering thing, because I want to be doing this for as many days as God gives me breath.
I love that. So now I'm going to flip the other end. What is it that you need, Rebecca, from the older women in your world?
Well, Lisa, I'm honored and so thankful that we're having this conversation, but you know, we're having this conversation because you have been a mentor and a friend to me in unprecedented ways, in remarkable ways these last couple of years. And I can't tell you enough how, and I would cry, so I'm going to try to hold it together, but how much that shifted my perspective of the generation going before me. You just came and called me and approached me head on, and you just were honest and you pursued relationship and you made sure you removed barriers. And I will never forget it. I will always remember and be grateful for your leadership there, because I actually wasn't seeing it modeled very well. And as a result, I felt isolated and alone. I felt like I had to kind of learn. I felt like I didn't have very many mothers, spiritual mothers in my life, godmothers. And all of a sudden I realized that maybe sometimes we don't always have that all the way through, or maybe there's not very many, but whether or not God at some point still appoints us to become mothers, whether or not we always had that in the way we wanted. And God used you as a catalyst to say, hey, you have a son who's 19 now. It's time for you to, like for me, to become a spiritual mother, godmother on some level. Like, cause I always thought like, I'm the 20 something in perpetuity. Like I'm always like, felt
it's
like the daughter. And at some point I was like, you know, you're 45, like you need to step into this mantle, whether or not you feel like you got it freely offered from someone else. And Lisa, your kindness to me encouraged me to do that. That just said, hey, it's time, you know, and just having that belief and confidence and covering has helped me in these last couple of years step into that role myself.
You know, and I love that you brought this up, because I do feel like there's a lot of older women out there that are afraid to reach out to the younger women and say, hey, do you need anything? Do I have anything of value to offer you, what I've learned the hard way? Do you think that's worthy of your attention? And then I think I've got on the flip side, a lot of younger women who are afraid of maybe being rejected by the older women, or afraid of asking for help because everybody told them they had to look like they had it all together. And you know, when I see this breakdown, and my interaction with you, I mean, I'm so thankful, but I feel like I am the one that actually, rather than handling it well, had mishandled it for a long time. But what I see is there are gaps. There are gaps. And when I was writing Godmothers and thinking about these generations, because you're a godmother to these 11, 12, 13-year-olds, as well as the 20-year-old girls. My demographic that reads my book is shockingly 24 to 35. I would have thought my friends were reading my books. It's not true. It's the ones I could have given birth to. So what happens is when there is a gap, when there is a breach, both ends of the spectrum are left vulnerable. So we have older women out there who need the questions and the connections and the strength of the younger generation. And then we have these younger women who need the wisdom and the hard lessons and really, to be honest with you, the weight of seeing the faithfulness of God. You know, saying, hey, I know Yes. This is a hard season, but I've been married for almost 40 years and I'm just going to tell you it's worth it. Or I know Yes. This is a hard season. You know, there's challenges in this area. Stay the course. You're going to outlast the enemy. You're going to outlast the hardship. Just don't falter. Don't fail. And we need to have these conversations, because it's actually a God-related mandate when the older women are commanded to teach and train the younger women. And when we talk about teach and train, that isn't just Bible study. That's conversations. That's you know, me coming to you and saying, Rebecca, I don't understand this. I don't understand. I don't understand why I feel like some of these younger women are acting like I've done something not worthy with connecting, and you being able to say, oh, Lisa, this is what's going on over here. And then me saying, well, this is what it looks like to us. And you and I have had the beautiful communion of conversations that I don't know that everybody has had. And so I love what you're doing. I remember meeting you in London and immediately thinking, there is something so beautiful on her life. I want to make sure I bless it. And I think that's what godmothers should do. And a blessing isn't just like, oh, God bless you. It's actually creating an environment for what is on you, Rebecca, or on the young girls that are carrying your book, Rhythm of Renewal, what is on their life to flourish. And so I watch you, and you are doing that, and you have been such a source of encouragement to me.
Thank you, friend.
You are most welcome.
Well, I think it takes, you know, someone has to lead with vulnerability. You know, someone has to, no matter what the generation is. And I think you doing that as the older person leading with vulnerability, it wasn't like you came to me and said, what can I teach you? You came to me and said, where are places that I may have communicated something I didn't mean. And honestly, like, that level of vulnerability was so compelling to me. And so I think younger girls like my, I'm calling myself younger.
You're younger compared to me.
I think this middle, I'm in the middle, right? In the middle generation right now, in the 40s. And I don't know that I would have a hard time leading with vulnerability to an older person, because I think there might be some fear that it would just be dismissed and it would be seen as weak. Whereas if I led with vulnerability to a younger like a girl in her 20s, she would say, wow, and I have several very close relationships with girls in their 20s, because like you, that's my target audience as well. And they're like, what I keep consistently hearing is like, I am so thankful that you're raw and you're honest and you're just calling it like it is, and you aren't pretending like everything's perfect, and you even speak candidly from stage. So for whatever reason, I feel freedom to be vulnerable because they appreciate it. But I think sometimes I feel if I do it to the generation above me, it's seen as weak or not approach the appropriate way to have it all figured out and not show that vulnerability. Does that make sense? I might be misreading.
No, I think it does make sense. And I do think that it's important to actually say it out loud, because I think sometimes that exposes something that is a lie that, you know, if we are looking at the younger generation, and again, I can only speak for myself, but I know that I've sat in the audience before, and this sounds really weird, but I'm just going to say it, and maybe a message that I labored and carried with conflict and resistance, you know, I preached it maybe 20 years ago, and you know, got resistance because I was a woman, or resistance because I was dressed in a way they didn't like maybe had pants on, or resistance just because I was pioneering. And you pioneer and you pioneer and you pioneer. And then, I actually lived this in a moment. It was so, so beautiful the way God dealt with me on it. And I was speaking at a conference with a beautiful young woman who was a spiritual daughter, and she actually got up and preached one of my key messages from the stage. And she went before me, and I was kind of like, okay, it's a good thing I wasn't planning on speaking on that. And then I found myself saying, well, look at her while she's doing it. She's doing it with such ease. She's doing it with false eyelashes on. She's doing it cute. She's, you know, like this. She's not sweating. And I thought, it was so hard for me. Why is it so easy for her? And I heard the Holy Spirit whisper, be careful, Lisa. Be careful. Mm. you're despising the answer to your own prayers. You ask that what was hard for you would be easy for them. You ask that they would go further. And now you're looking at it and you're thinking, well, can it be harder for them? And it was such a wake-up call for me. And so I do wonder sometimes if some of the older women are weary and they're looking and thinking, what, you better do this perfect because I worked really hard for this. And we forget that we are all part of the same story. This isn't a Rebecca story. Yeah. This isn't a Lisa story. This is a Jesus story. And I want to respect your time. And, you know, again, I want to ask you one last question before I tell everybody how they can stay connected with you. What is something? It could be a project or it could be just something you're passionate or believing for right now, Rebecca. What is that? What is that something?
I feel like I'm in a prayer vigil these days where I'm just constantly being prompted by the Holy Spirit to ask for things specific, because I do believe when we're in a season of heightened awareness, our ears to the ground, we're in the middle of a global shift. As we all know, this is an unprecedented year. And as a result, I think it's not a time to be fearful, but it is a time to wake up. And so I've just been meditating on the scripture, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And there's this real sense, and it's all about in that same passage of living the new life and like put off your former way of life and take on this new life. And I think what I'm prayerful for, even this morning, I just went on an hour prayer walk early before the kids got up because I'm getting the rhythm of renewal in physically, but also my mind is opened in creation, just the birds and the air and just how vast God is and how at peace He is, even though the world is spinning out. And I believe that the Lord is just putting such a burden on my heart, like, this gift of this season is time. Like, time is the most precious commodity that we could possibly have. And are we using it in a way that gets us on our knees? Are we communing with God because He might want to deposit something special and unique for this moment culturally and also for the church? Are we exploring how we worship without ceasing, how it's not just siloed to a Sunday, it's all day, every day? And what does discipleship look like now virtually for people? Like, how can I disciple people on a Zoom call? How can I get, you know, people, large groups and small groups where there's like real communal prayer and petition happening. So I think God's calling us out of our isolation and alienation, even though we might have to be in separate spaces in this season of this virus that we just don't know what to do with. But I think it's also actually God is going to turn it for a unifying church. I believe that. It's going to actually, what he's trying to do, the enemy's tactic is always to alienate and isolate and make us mute. But God is going to turn this, I believe, into a unifying, rallying roar of a church. But it will have to be precedented by repentance for each of us, you know, and I'm doing that a lot right now. Like, just God, show me the idols that have somehow gotten in the way of my security, my comfort, my stability, my what are the ways even self-preservation has kind of been my prop? And I think right now it's like putting all the chips back in the middle of the table and going, God, have your way, because I want a revived heart personally that is so deeply in need of your provision and protection every single day, so that I can have my ear tuned to what you're up to.
Rebecca, I love that you and I share a friendship, and I want everybody to have access to all the wisdom and practicality and beauty, because you actually do weave it all in that kind of package. How can people stay connected with you? What are some of the best ways?
Sure. You can just find me on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter at Rebecca Lyons, and it's spelled Rebekahlyons. And then my website's RebeccaLyons.com. And you'll find all just kind of, I do a lot of free resources there for people. And my husband and I, Gabe, started Rhythms for Life podcast. And it's one of our favorite things to do together. And it's weekly, talking people through spiritual health, physical health, relational health, and their vocational health. So we have experts on every week, and it's just, we have a lot of fun. We goof off there as well. But I just want people to learn how to live in rhythm so that they can have sustained emotional health.
I love that. And I know that Addison got to be a guest with you on that for Saints.
And
so thank you so much. And I was super happy you got to meet my son.
He was laughing so hard because we were talking about birding on that episode, and he and Gabe were talking about being old men with these like antique desks and writing letters with their quills. I mean, it went off the rails, but I love your son and your daughter-in-law. It was so fun.
Oh, I just feel like it's just an aspect of my life that is one of those things. I'm like, this is something that I present to God as just this offering of redemptive, because I look at him and he's just such a great, great example of parents who are so flawed and then their kids turn out so well. So Rebecca, thank you so much for having such a vulnerable conversation. I know so many women are going to feel strengthened and encouraged with this conversation, and thank you for being part of the Godmother podcast. I know you are a goddaughter to me and a godmother to thousands.
Thank you, Lisa. I love you so much.
Okay, so I hope you loved my conversation with Rebecca Lyons. I always come away with such a refreshing and such a challenge to Lisa, girl, slow it down. You can rest. I hope you were likewise inspired to create a new rhythm of renewal in your life. I also want to thank you for tuning in today and remind you that the Godmother's book is out there in the world. It is available everywhere. Books are sold, so you can check it out on Amazon, or you can go to themessengerpodcast.com/godmothers. I also want to invite you to journey with us. You can do that by subscribing and rating the show. It actually really helps us get the word out. And we want to hear from you. We want to hear what you want discussed. But until next time, this is your podcast godmother, Lisa Bevere.
Thanks for listening to the Godmother Podcast. Let us know your thoughts by leaving a review. You can subscribe and share these episodes through Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, be sure to check out our other shows in the Messenger Podcast Network, including Conversations with John and Lisa, The Messenger Podcast, and Let's Talk About It with Sons and Daughters. You can connect with Lisa through Facebook, Instagram, and through her website at lisabevere.com. Until next time.